Welcome to St. James Episcopal Church in Leith. This podcast features edited highlights from our online Zoom service on Sunday, October the 25th, as well as a selection of music from the St. James Music Group. To join us online or for more information, please go to stjamesleith.org.uk.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You'll be happy if you turn away from the people leading you astray, all the ones with nothing good.
Trusting in God's forgiveness, let us in silence confess our failings and acknowledge our part in the pain of the world. Before God, with these people of God, I confess to turning away from God in the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you. Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen. Before God, with the people of God, we confess to turning away from God in the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen.
The words and the ways of God.
For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of
The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at the 34th verse. Now, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love. Love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the greatest, that is the greatest in the first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." "Ah," he said to them, "how is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" And no one was able to give him an answer from that day, nor did anyone dare to ask any more questions. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And everybody here okay? Thanks, that's good enough. Well, yesterday I passed the Roma woman who begs outside the Sainsbury's local here. Well, I thought, I'm preaching on love thy neighbor. I can't pass by, for goodness sake. But it was hard. I said to her, I don't have any cash. I mean, because who has cash these days? But can I get you something? A Coke, she said. And a baguette. And smoked mackerel. Okay. And when I came back out, she took them. And then she pulled up the blanket around her feet. And she showed me her flimsy sandals. And she said, "Shoes. Tomorrow you give shoes." I wasn't sure about that. I mean, where do you start? What is your name? I said. She said, "Yes, very, very cold." I pulled down my mask. I asked again, "What is your name?" And she said, "Here, every day." So I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. I mean, there are a lot of issues behind this situation, of course. Reputedly, there are gangs operating. But still, whether or not she's in a gang, this woman is trapped and oppressed by the situation. She's my neighbor. What should I do? Any advice? Just post it in the chat to everyone, okay? Go ahead. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Are these somewhat hollow words in a tier 3 lockdown, or whatever Nicola is calling the most severe restrictions? Hollow, or at the best somewhat theoretical. Yet at the beginning, there were stories of neighborly love and feelings of community spirit. You may remember the Office of National Statistics coronavirus survey from April, which revealed that over half of adults said that they have a sense of belonging with other residents in their community during the coronavirus pandemic. And in addition, over 2 in 3, 67%, also said they thought people are doing more to help others since the coronavirus outbreak. Well, I wonder, is this still happening? So I wanted to see if I could get a few stories from you right now. It's Help Out the Preacher Sunday. Are there any examples that you could tell us all about in a few quick sentences of COVID cooperation or lockdown love, neighborly acts? Where have you seen neighborly love in action in the lockdown? Maybe meeting needs brought about or made worse by the lockdown. Can you tell us in a sentence or two what you've seen or been part of where neighborly love has blossomed? Is there a little picture you could share? Wave at me, and if I see you, I'll invite you to speak. Anyone have an example? Elspeth, unmute and tell us.
One of my neighbors is running a local library in the terraces here, you can go and it's like a book exchange, bring a book and take a book. And so that's been, and she's had games and things for the kids as well. So that's been a real blessing to very many people over lockdown.
Wonderful.
Great. Anyone else? What have you seen?
Nobody there.
Anybody on the second screen? From Jess. Yeah. From Jessie and with Shannon.
Our neighbor upstairs regularly prepares food for my mother and leaves it on the porch. And she also carries our garbage out and things like that for us. So it's been very nice.
Yeah, neighbor upstairs. Thank you.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. Any more? Not seeing it. Those are great.
There's Marion.
Marion and then Naomi. Marion, unmute and.
I'm from Merseyside, and I live in a little village that just has two pubs, and they were both closed during lockdown, and we're in level three, so we've got some serious issues to contend with, but one of the local pubs converted their restaurant kitchen into a community kitchen, and they provided thousands of meals to people who were isolated during the lockdown, and it was an amazing experience for the people who lived locally, and they were really grateful, and they received donations from of food, and they also received donations of money, and they also got some grant money from our parish council because we live in a little village, and they provided thousands of meals, so that was extraordinary to see, and everybody saw the pub in a new light, which was brilliant.
That's lovely.
That's great. And one more from Naomi.
It's just a very small thing and yet a big thing. Early on in lockdown, we kept opening our front door and finding little gifts on the front doorstep, flowers and baking from our neighbours. It was lovely.
Wonderful.
That's cool. Wonderful to hear those. Thank you so much for sharing those stories that go beyond creed or church or mosque or temple. Wonderful examples of the spirit of neighborly love welling up in this situation. Well, I've focused on individual examples, and indeed the response to the command to love has been so often been presented in Christian and Jewish and Islamic teaching and preaching as the responsibility of the individual. But we mustn't forget that communities and groups can be loving or unloving, that they can be good neighbors or bad enemies, and that systemic evils and injustices in communities and in countries need to be resisted and fought and overcome, and that is the right purpose of politics, whether it's racism or gender pay gaps or feeding children through free school meal programs. There are political battles to fight, protests to be made, petitions to sign, votes to be cast. Well, once upon a time, there was a church whose building was just outside town, right on the inside of a sharp bend of road. That road had once been a quiet lane to the church, but now it was a busy road leading to the next town. And time and again, drivers would fail to negotiate the bend, and there were many accidents and quite a few deaths. And the church people, they felt very sorry for the victims, and they said prayers for them, and they held funerals, and they expanded the graveyard for the dead. But no one dared to say, if we moved the church and straightened the road, could these deaths be prevented? Let's sit with that just for a moment. What could it mean for us? In our search for the next rector through the congregational consultation, we've said that as a church we want to be more involved in the local Leith community. It's like we want to love our neighbor, but we sometimes can't quite see how. And in the interviews this week with candidates, more than one have asked, so how much do you want to get involved in the local community? Are you prepared for the challenge? And, well, if you now have ideas on that, why not share some? Use the chat while I'm finishing up. Go ahead. Whether it's to clean litter on Leith Links or storm the police station or something hopefully in between. In a famous sermon by Martin Luther King titled On Being a Good Neighbor, King spoke of the Good Samaritan and altruistic love. Altruistic love. He said, man-made laws are necessary to assure justice, but a higher law is needed to produce love like that. No code of conduct ever written by a man can make a father love his children and a husband have affection for his wife. The law court may compel him to provide physical bread for the family, but it cannot make him provide the bread of love. Where does such love come from? King talks about our connectedness. He said, in the final analysis, I must not ignore the wounded man on life's Jericho road because he is a part of me and I a part of him. His agony diminishes me and his salvation enlarges me. And then he appealed to the example of the magnanimous Christ to inspire us, the ultimate example of altruistic love. Altruistic love that was extreme, love that was costly. But we also need to remember that this, in Jesus' words, was the second commandment. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That relationship with the Lord is primary, and everything else flows from that. Christ's death for us and for our salvation, his rising again with a message of new life, at a stroke, changed the relationship, changed the covenant, changed the commandments. No longer were they orders to be obeyed in our own strength, but invitations and promises to a new way of life in which, bit by bit, hatred and pride can be left behind, and love can become a reality. In the words of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never fails. May God's love for us, his unfailing love for us, inspire our love for God and inspire in practical ways for our neighbor. Amen.
Let's turn to share the peace together, and let's remember that although we are not together physically and we can't walk around the church and give everybody a big hug, that at least we can give everybody a wave. And let's pray that the Lord will send our love for one another across the streets of Edinburgh and all the way to where Marion's living, as well as everybody else. And across, I think we've got people from far away. So we meet in Christ's name.
And share his peace.
Thank you.
thanks to our gracious God.
His mercy endures forever.
On our heads and on our houses.
The blessings of God.
In our coming and going.
The peace of God.
In our life and believing.
The love of God.
At our end and new beginning.
The arms to welcome us.
Amen.